Rockaway International Living Victoriously Orchestra. Give them a big hand. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy, for the beauty of this tremendous time we've had together here at Living Victoriously. And truly, Father, we have all learned how to do so more dynamically than ever before. And Father, the world will never be the same because of the time we've had here these 2 weeks and because of the outreach of people's hearts and lives with your word that will follow this tremendous class. Thank you for every believer and every twig and every family as each goes out from here living with and for you, our Almighty God, to move the great truth and accuracy of your word and this ministry around the communities, nations of the world. Thank you for the privilege of living victoriously together with you, that we may give you all the glory as we stand on your promises. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen. Eagle inside, Brian Bull.
He doesn't say yes if he doesn't want to. He's got a mind of his own. There's no man or beast that's gonna drive him from his home. He lives on the mountaintop. He's never coming down. He knows that there's no freedom for him on the ground. Needs a lot of room to move, 'cause he's still free and wild. And when the cold wind blows, he knows how to survive. Instinct tells him when to come, when it's time to go. Just how he stays up so long, nobody really knows. That's the way. But he doesn't like to stick around. There's some kind of fire in his heart that keeps him heaven bound. The way he lives up high, nothing escapes his view. He doesn't care what anyone thinks. He does what he's got to do. That's the way.
I am proud of my country's heritage. We're living on freedom's soil. Brave men have gone before me here, unafraid to pray and toil. And I intend to keep on building up what others seek to spoil. And God still bears his mighty arm when men to him are loyal. Yes, our God still bears his mighty arm when men to him are loyal. I was only a boy of 15 when my grandpa said to me, "Son, come with me today and I'll show you the way." His country of yours was won. So we drove out to Washington County, Route 76, Ohio. 2 miles north of that Ohio River, we pulled to the side of the road. It was only an old cemetery, like others I'd seen before. And Grandpa pointed out the names of our family who fought in the Revolutionary War. There was Benjamin and James and Joseph. Grandpa told me as we drew near, they fought hard for this freedom we have here today, in this land that we hold so dear. And I'm proud of my country's heritage. We're living on freedom's soil. Brave men have gone before me here, unafraid to pray and toil. And I intend to keep on building up what others seek to spoil. And God still bears his mighty arm, men to him are loyal. Yes, our God still bears his mighty arm, men to him are loyal. Well, the sun shone hot on the wheat field as we drove on back home to the farm. I looked out at the land and I thought of the stand that was taken in those times of alarm, when our country was yet a young nation and her call to serve rang through the land. And we answered that call no matter the price. We decided, united, to stand. Than cannons or guns. With God's word on our lips, we have power. With God's word in our hearts, we are free. As we speak forth his word and believe what we say, we are light all the world can see.
Take your Bibles tonight and go to Colossians, please. I think I ought to have some of you people up here fanning me. I told Chris backstage, if I get too warm, I'm going to take this coat off, and after that, I'll take the vest off and... finally I'll be like the prodigal. I'll come to myself. Yeah. Are you running that clock? Good. It's difficult when you can't tell time. Boy, isn't it a beautiful evening? It's such a joy being with you, and no man's it more grateful than I am. Real thankful to God. I'll see if you know the one-liner. God bless and greetings to you in the wonderful name of our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On this Sunday, July the 4th, 1982, living victoriously with and for God. Now, you all know there's a time for what? All things. Bless your heart. But there's one thing for all time, and that is living with and for God. Do you know that the God of all time and history has so arranged it that everybody must acknowledge the birth of his son every time he dates a letter? Believer or unbeliever? And the name of his son, Jesus Christ, produces various reactions in the hearts of men. Most of the time, great fear and great trepidation. In Colossians chapter 3, and in verse 17, after we are told in 16, you're to let the word of Christ dwell in you what? Richly. That means the word, the written word, let it dwell there. Whatsoever ye do in 17, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all, do everything you do in the name of what? Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him, Jesus Christ. Everything you do in word or in deed, you do in the name of what? Jesus Christ. That's something. 2 Thessalonians. Ordinarily, I wouldn't go this order, but it's easy for you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at this. Verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his what? And fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of believing with power. For what reason? Verse 12. That the name of what? Our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and that in turn you may be glorified in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, now we commend you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother who walketh disorderly in idleness. Disorderly is idleness. Someone who just does not care to move the word. And not withdraw yourself from every walketh, and not after the tradition. Or the word tradition in the text is after the teaching, not the word tradition. After the teaching, which Paul said, you received of us. In the book of James, after Hebrews, James, look at chapter 2, verse 7. Verse 6 talks about rich men oppressing you and bring you before judgment seats. Verse 7 says, do not those people that do that, that say evil, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are what? Called? And they surely do. In 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 14, if ye be reproached, the word reproached is criticized, in the name of Jesus Christ, blessed are ye. Happy is the word blessed. Blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is what? Glorified. Wherever you go, you glorify his name. In the epistle of 1 John, chapter 2, verse 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are remitted you, is the text. Your sins are remitted for his what? Name's sake. And in 3:25, well, let's read 23. 3:23, and this is his what? That we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. You know, there is no 25. This is his commandment, that we should believe, act on the name or in the name of his Son, God's Son, Jesus Christ, and do what? Love one another. As he, God, through Jesus Christ, gave us this commandment. And in chapter 5 of 1 John, in verse 13, I've just picked out a few of these verses. There are many like this in the Word, people. These things have I written unto you. Then the words that believe on the name of the Son of God are scratched. These things have I written unto you that you may know, K-N-O-W. Not question, people, not doubt, not have any iota of a difference with, but that you may what? Know. That you may know that you know that you know that you have what? And that ye may believe on the name of the what?
Son of God.
You see, wrapped up in God's namesake, Jesus Christ, is the invisible power and the miracle-working might of the church of the body. I am the namesake of Ernst Werwell. Jesus Christ is the namesake of God. And wrapped up in God's namesake, Jesus Christ, people, is this invisible miracle-working power, which is the might of the church of the body, to which you and I belong. The power is not in fasting or denial of yourself. It is not in works, people. Not any works that man ever does. It is in believing in God and in his wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. Now, in this, our closing session of our Living Victoriously weeks together, I desire to set before you, for your consideration and growth, two things, the following. Number one, God lives with you. Number two, you live for God. God lives with you. Number two, now you live for God. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Listen to this, verse 16. And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Of his fullness, of the fullness of God in Christ Jesus, have we, all of us, done what? By his grace, grace for grace. But of his fullness we have received. People, you have that fullness in you. You've got it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in whom, he's a new creation. Of his fullness you have all received. Old things are what? The man of wrath is gone. The child of wrath is gone. You're a new creature. I taught you the record from Peter about the new nature. The old man nature is one thing. The new nature, which is God in Christ in you, is something else. Now you're a new creation. That's why old things are what? And behold, all things are new. And verse 18, look at it. And all things what? All things new. It's an ellipsis. You have to supply the word new. All things new are of God, who hath what? Reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. He hath reconciled. And people, if God reconciled us, then we're what?
Reconciled.
No matter what the world says, no matter what you feel like. Has nothing to do with feeling. Has everything to do with what God wrought in Christ Jesus, people. He hath reconciled. Reconciled. So you don't have to pray about it. Just get born again and you're what? Reconciled. He hath reconciled us to himself. He has reconciled us to himself. So as far as God's word is concerned, as far as God is concerned, we are what? Reconciled unto him. And that's why you were given the ministry of doing what? So that other people can be reconciled because you speak the word. To wit, verse 19. God was where?
In Christ.
God was where?
In Christ.
Oh, people. God was in Christ. Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their sins unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of what? That's right. Boy, remember Colossians 1:27? What's it say? Amen. To whom God would make known, he desired to make known, What is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles? Which is Christ where?
In
Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope of what?
Glory.
God was in Christ doing what? Now God in Christ is in you. Remember John that we read a little while ago? All the fullness of God. Filled with his fullness. Now, do you understand it? It's God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. With God in Christ in you, you have the hope of his return, which is the hope of glory. In chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 9, for in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. The text reads head God. Godhead was Trinitarian forgery. Boy, in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the head God. God is where? In Christ, people. God is in Christ. All the fullness of the head God dwelt in Christ. Bodily, dwelt in him. Now Christ is where? In you. Christ is in every born-again believer. God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. My, oh my. Look at verse 10. That's why you are what? Complete. You're what?
Complete.
Well, people, if you're complete, then you're what? Then why do you allow anybody to put you under the law and all that other junk and tell you you aren't? The Word of God says you're what? Would you like to call God a liar or people?
People.
People is right. The Word says you're complete. Not one thing missing spiritually. It's God in Christ in you. God in Christ in you. And if you have God in Christ in you, all the fullness of God. You see, the church has never majored since the early part of the first century what they have in Christ Jesus. Because we let people talk us out of it. Communities, societies, homos, the rest of them. Damn it, we are what that word says we are. Boy, someday somebody's got to believe this again. Look, this is God's word. God gave his only begotten son. I didn't die for you. You didn't die for me. God's only begotten son died for all of us. He died for us. That you and I might have the God in Christ in us, the hope of glory. Man, why don't we stand up and get counted? Try. Oh, shoot. Somebody's got to stand up, said Times, and say, look, you screwballs. And if they don't understand that terminology, use different language. Language they understand and say, look, this is what the Word says. That's a lot older than you are, and it stands, and God's still God. You didn't even create nothing. God created the heavens and the earth. Who are you to talk? And back them off the map with the greatness of God's Word. My, oh my. Tremendous truth, people. Now, you see, God in Christ has enwrapped us in all of his perfection and all of his wondrous beauty. Just think of the glory you got tonight. Think of the blessing you have tonight. Think of the responsibilities that have accrued unto you from that relationship. You see, to bear the namesake of God, Christian, Christ in, I believe is the greatest honor that heaven could afford upon a human being. To bear his namesake, the namesake of God, Jesus Christ, Christian, Christ in. God lives within you. With Christ Jesus, giving you all the authority to stand as his ambassador, his representative, his son. For his righteousness is your righteousness. His love, people, is your love. His peace is your peace. His grace is your grace. His sanctification is your sanctification. His justification is yours, honey. It's with this and a lot more that he has adorned every believer's life. All the wealth and the riches of God in Christ Jesus live within you. And you have all the rights, all the privileges, and all the power of a son of God. In Romans chapter 6, look at it. Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore we were, is the text, buried with him by baptism in his death. But that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should we walk in what? Romans 6, 4. When Jesus Christ died, people, we died with him. When he was buried, we were buried with him. When he arose, we arose with him. When he ascended, we ascended with him. That's why we're all already seated with him in the heavenlies. That's why while we're here upon earth, we should walk in newness of what? Not the same old way we walked before. We walk in the newness of life, of this God in Christ in you, in chapter 7. In verse 6 of chapter 7, listen to this. Now we're delivered from the law. We are delivered. If we're delivered, we're what?
Delivered.
That being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of what? And not in the oldness of the letter. We serve in newness of life, in newness of spirit, because of what God wrought in Christ Jesus. The walk of newness in life is that you live for God, people. You have to set your will to do the will of God. Set your will to do the will of God. God does not possess, he does not control. You have to set your will to do the will of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations, reasonings, it's the text, sense, knowledge, reasonings, and every high, and the word high is false things, because all sense, knowledge, reasoning is false things, that exalteth itself against the knowledge of what? And you have to bring into captivity every what? Thought. You bring into captivity every what? Not a thought every month or two, but every thought. It's a day by day, moment by moment living. You are in control of your life, of your mind. You control your own will, and you, by your will, choose to make the decision that your decisions are going to be built upon God's Word. You bring into captivity, people, every thought, to the obedience of what?
Christ.
That's right. You lead your mind into captivity. Don't ever allow anybody else to do it by spiritualism or whatever, that hypnotism or anything else. That's all devil spirits. You have freedom of will, and by the freedom of the will, you lead your mind into captivity unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You live for God in absolute union because you are identified with Christ in all he is, all he was, or all that Christ will ever be, people. So being in the family and in the household of God, you have an absolute legal right to everything that every other son has. Your judgment of yourself or anyone else's judgment or any man's opinion is of absolutely no value whatsoever. It is what God says you are. Paul said, I don't even judge myself. That's what I'm talking about. Your judgment of yourself is irrelevant. What does the Word say? You are what the Word of God says you are. You have what the Word of God says you have. You'll be what the Word of God says you'll be. You just got to let God loose in your life. Turn Him loose, people, and you will paralyze the power of the enemy wherever you are. You are God's love subjects. You are God's slaves, doulos. Not by possession, but by freedom of what? Right. You have dominion because you are linked with omnipotence and with the wisdom and the power to execute it. All you need to do is to believe God's word and act. That's all. Now you know the adversary knows this. He knows that you know that your concern and your interest is the same as that of God's. Your concerns, your interests are the same as that of God's. The adversary knows that. So he will endeavor to obstruct you. But in Christ Jesus, you are more than a what? And he that's in me is greater than he is where? Right. That's why, people, God cannot and God will never see you to fail. You were made to be more than a conqueror, have a life that's more than abundant. You were not made for defeat. You were made for victory. And how thankful I was tonight that the orchestra played that as their last number. Victory, victory, victory. We are more than conquerors, people. You see, if God allowed you to fail, he would be failing because his word would be failing. And God does not allow his word to fail. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. For all the promises of what? God. All of them means what? Not 99 and 44 one-hundredth, all without exception. All the promises of God in Jesus Christ, are yea, and in him, amen. Always under the glory of God for us. That's why you can count on God and his word, people. In Malachi 3:6, I'm sure you all know this one. Listen, though. For I am the Lord. I do what? I change not. I am the Lord. I what? Change not. So we go in God's might, people. We go in God's power. We go in God's glory, headed for the finish line. In Luke chapter 5. Luke 5. Verse 1. And it came to pass as the people pressed upon him, Jesus, to hear the word of God. I wish the press would again press to hear the word of God. He, Jesus, stood by the lake of what? Gennesaret. And the word, the lake of Gennesaret is the same lake that's called Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Lake of Tiberias. Galilee, Tiberias, and Gennesaret are all the same. He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their what? Do you see the S on the end of that word? That means what? Plural. They had more than one what? Net. Right. More than one net. They were washing their nets, and he, Jesus, verse 3, entered into one of the ships which was Simon's, that's Simon Peter's, and prayed, asked him, he asked him that he would row him out a little bit from the land. And then Jesus sat down and Jesus taught the people out of the ship. Verse 1 told us they pressed upon him to hear the word of God. When Jesus Christ spoke, what did Jesus Christ speak? The word, the word. That's what he taught the people, the word of God. Like some 70 teachers have taught you these weeks, the word of God. They taught you the word. So Jesus sat down in that ship and he taught the word. Now when he had left teaching, speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out in the deep and let down your what? Nets. Is it singular or plural? Right, for a draught. God never does anything through Jesus Christ unless he pays off. God never asks you to do anything that if you do it, he doesn't multiply it back to you. In every category. He had borrowed a little boat from Simon Peter. And after the teaching was over with, he said, okay, Simon, now pay off. I'll bless you. You blessed me, making it possible for me to teach the people. Now I'm going to bless you. So let's go out here, launch out in the deep. Get away from the shore. Get out in the deep water. And then you let down the nets, all the nets, everything you got aboard the ship. Let it down, everything upon the door, for a draught, for a catch. The word of God is what, people? But Simon answering said, the word and is but. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night. I love this. How many of us haven't toiled all night on our own and caught nothing? I used to pray till I was almost blue in the face to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I begged God. I pleaded with him. I cried. I even gave up coffee. That's a sacrifice. I tried everything. We toiled all night. I never received until somebody taught me the word, showed me the word, and I believed the word. I wasn't taught the word in as nearly a young age as so many of you in this Living Victoriously class regarding the power of the Holy Spirit. And how blessed again I've been all these weeks and tonight again when you military men were up here speaking in tongues and interpreting, giving a word of prophecy. Gosh, it's so simple. Who taught it to you? You didn't work so hard 20 years or 30 for it like I did. Because you were taught one thing. What? The word. The word of God's the will of God. And all you did is believe the word and acted on it. You did it. The word to Simon was, launch out into the what? But Simon Peter had a little head problem like we have many times with God's word. Look, God, that sounds a little too screwy. You know, it's way off the wall. Because after all, God, fishing's my business. The word's yours. What do you know about fishing? I know about fishing. You may know about the word. Jesus never argued with him. Man always argues with God and his word, but the word never argues with you. Just the word. That's it. That's right. He said, Master, look, we toiled all night. We fished at the best fishing hour. You know when the calendar shows catch fish? We did all that. We toiled all night. And Lord, we know this Sea of Gennesaret, Galilee, Tiberias. We know where to fish for the fish. We fished all night, Lord, and we caught nothing. Nevertheless, I want to tell you, Lord, at thy word, I love you, Lord. I'll tell you what I'll do. I will let out one net. Is that what God, through Jesus Christ, had said? Jesus Christ had said, let it all hang out. Let out the what? Nets. Let out all the nets for a draught. Then Peter argues with God's word through Jesus Christ. And he said, you know, we know this business, but just to show you, we'll let out a net. If I'd have been Jesus, I'd have most likely went home about that time and sent the fish the other direction. He said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed, they caught a great multitude of fish, to the end that that single net started busting up. Their net what? And they yelled, they beckoned, they yelled, they motioned unto the other partners, said, get on over here, help us, help us. And they came and they filled both of the boats. So they almost began to sink. Man, had they left out all the nets, they perhaps never had to go fishing again. And it made enough money off that one catch. But look at it. It didn't completely fulfill God's word, and yet look at the amount. That's grace, people. That's grace. And that is grace to you people in living abundantly, living victoriously like to me. It is still God's grace and God's mercy that gets us anything in this life. No matter how much of the Word of God you may know or I may know, we still screw it up. We blow it. We live many times below par. But God covers for us in Christ Jesus. Because we are attached to Him. We're attached to omnipotence. We're attached to God by birth. By birth. And if you had a good earthly father, He worked for you. He did everything He could for you. He's my heavenly Father. He'll do all I can, all He can for me. Even if I say, look, I'll let out a net, He'll still do His utmost. He'll still do His best for me. And then Simon saw it, what had happened. He fell down at Jesus' knees. You know that has to be a figure of speech, or it's got to be levitation. Now, to fall down at a man's knees is a figure of me. To fall at his feet on your face. He said, oh Lord, you depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, oh Lord. For he, Peter, was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Verse 10, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, don't get shook. From henceforth, from now on, thou shalt catch men. From now on, the figure catching men means to teach the word. From now on, you're going to hold forth the word. It in Mark chapter 1. Mark, I think it's in Mark 1:17. Is that right on your cross-reference? That's right. Mark 1:17. Jesus said unto them, come ye what? After me. Mark 1:17. And I will make you to become fishers of what? According to the Talmud, to be a fisher of men is to be a worker of the word that is taught that brings men. That's why in Luke, I know, when Jesus Christ said, from henceforth, thou shalt catch men. It's that Peter and those men learned more of the word of God, and they taught the word of God, and that's how the men were brought into the catch, into the net, so to speak. Verse 11 says, and when they, the apostles, had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. That does not mean what the commentaries say, that they left their ships, their boats, and everything else, sold them all, and always continuously followed Jesus Christ. That's not true. They just got their priority corrected. Right. They still kept their boats because they had to make a living. Even after, isn't it the resurrection of the Lord Jesus? Yes, it is. After the resurrection, Peter says, I'm going fishing. He still has his boat left. He had to make a living, but he got his priorities right. He put the holding of God's word, knowing God and his word first, fishing business second. Got his priority right. That's what you and I have done here at Living Victoriously. Checked on our priorities. And we'll go home having our priorities right. God first, God first, God first in everything we do. They forsook all and followed him. You and I have forsaken all. Our goal is the moving of the word over the world. God is primary. Everything else is secondary or lower. That's why, class, the size of your reward at the gathering together depends on how many of the promises of God's word you have believed and trodden under your foot, like Joshua did. God had said to Joshua, every place the sole of your what? Foot shall tread upon, I've already given you. So how many promises of God's word have you believed, trodden under your foot? You can only live for God, people, to the extent of the promises that you have tested in your own life and proved for yourself. Persistence, class, is far greater than genius. So march on and march up in Colossians chapter 4 is the final verse of scripture that I want to share with you in this Living Victoriously class as the closing scripture of these fantastic weeks we've had together. Colossians chapter 4. Verse 17. I say to Living Victoriously class, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou what? Right. Living Victoriously class people, take heed to the ministry which you have received, which you have received. It is in your possession. You're responsible for what you do with it. Take heed to it, which you have received in the Lord, that you do one thing, people. What? Fulfill it. We've only got one life, people. This is it before the coming. There is no reincarnation for us. There's eternal life. So we have to take heed to do one thing. What? Fulfill it. That's the word over the world. That's God in Christ in you. That's living victoriously with God and for God, people. Let us pray, okay? Thank you, Father, for the greatness of your word. Lord, how we love you tonight in this class. And how thankful I am, Father, for the ineffable greatness of your presence and power in reaching down in your mercy and grace these weeks to bless all of these wonderful people. And Father, I thank you for allowing me to live in this time and be a part of their wonderful life and for their great love for me and for you and the Word. And I thank you for the abundance of your divine presence and for your grace and mercy to each one of us, that we may carry the ministry to fulfill it in our lifetime. Amen.